Elliot Short Parks will join us coming up shortly. Let's listen right now to Jordan Mailata. Obviously, last year it was a fiasco against Tampa. Todd Bowles likes the blitz a lot. Eagles are doing far better against it this year. But Bowles is a different dude. I mean, he'll bring in a lot. Here's Jordan Mailata on facing that kind of pressure and the rematch reality of the Eagles and Bucks.
What challenges does a Todd Bowles defense present?
I mean, you can think of every single blitz in the playbook, and the guy has it. You know, he has so many different presentations and coverages that he can bring it from, the blitz, and that's what makes him so special. He's got the personnel and the playbook.
And what are the emotions going back down there after the playoff game? Going back down there for the first time since the playoff game?
Yeah, I mean, it's been hard this week to not make it personal, you know, because it's, they sent us home. But you got to think, this is a new year. We have a new team. They have a new team. And we just have to execute that game plan that we have going down there this week. So, again, this year it's been about, not making anything too personal, learning from the mistakes that we made last year, and going down there with our team and executing the game plan this week, which is going to be fun.
Jordan Mailata talking about this game. I'll say this. I think of everything that has gone well this year, I think the blitz pickup is the number one thing that they've improved on. And to me, it's the thing that gets a star, the biggest thing that gets a star. Because all three games they've done, like John, they haven't had a problem with it.
Well, it's been the focus. Like, that was the biggest concern. How in the world can they stop the blitz, which everyone turned against us last year? That was a big part of our problem. So this is it's wonderful. It's wonderful to see this actually coming. And we were talking all training camp. Oh, is it going to be Cam? Is it going to be Jalen who's making these calls and declaring the mic? How are they going to figure out how to do this without having live reps? Well, they figured out how to do it without having live reps, and it feels like it's dependable, and it'll continue to improve.
It's impressive.
I'm so happy to see it.
Yeah.
And I do. I have a lot of faith that this quarterback, this center, they can do that. It can handle it. You questioned whether it was, whether they were up to this challenge, Joe. Like, it is very clear.
I wasn't, well,
they can do this and then some.
Yeah, like, look, it wasn't my greatest concern coming into the year. It was a concern because of how last year ended. But I've seen enough football to know it shouldn't be that hard to figure out how to get better.
We have answers. We have protection answers. We have route adjustment answers. It's like we've come to the adult table.
Well, one thing they have to work better on, though, and sometimes it was a problem with Kelsey, but the first two plays last week, they were high snaps, and that's what killed that first drive. So, they got to work on that better, but, you got to wonder if, because Jalen's making the calls, if he's seeing things better. Because he's more involved in it.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know.
Look, there's a lot to it. I mean, the offense this year has been very uneven. Saquon, frankly, has saved their butt a couple times this year, to say the least. All right, let's talk more Eagles football. By the way, Dave Dombrowski today at 9:30. So Dombrowski, 9:30, as the Phillies get ready to start their playoffs 2 Saturdays from now, 8 days from now. Still a whole bunch of teams trying to figure out where they're going to get seated. And, frankly, some teams trying to still figure out whether they're even going to make it. Which is kind of like the Eagles and the Bucks. Are they going to be playoff teams this year? All right, for more on that, let's talk to Elliot Short Parks. He joins us every Friday at this time. Good morning, Elliot.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Good, buddy.
Doing great.
Anxious to see this game and, get more information of what kind of squad do we have this year. So, Elliot, let's start not so much with, the team this year and what kind of squad big picture, but little picture this game, who's in, who's out. Doesn't seem, based on the injury report, that things are trending in a good direction for A.J. Brown, Devontae, or Lane. What do you know just about those three before we get to some of the lesser players?
Yeah, I mean, today is obviously a big day. They'll release the final injury report, but I expect A.J. Brown and Devontae to probably be listed as straight out today, but I don't think either are going to play in the game on Sunday. So I think they'll definitely be without A.J., and I think Devontae is definite as well.
Let me ask you one question before you continue. Let's take a guy like Devontae, because we've kind of braced for AJ maybe being out for a month. But a situation like Devontae, it strikes me like the Eagles and a lot of organizations have gotten really good at being really tight-lipped about what's going on, like what's really going on. Do reporters have any sense of if he's close or not? Is it just totally kept in-house?
Yeah, and I think that's especially the case with the concussion. you know, I think with other – look, the Eagles are very tight-lipped about injuries. That's just their philosophy. Yeah. That's how they handle things. But I think when it comes to concussions, it's especially – just because you don't know, I mean, how someone's going to react, you know, day after day. So, yeah, with Devontae, the best read for me is I've not seen either of them anywhere in the building. And normally when a player is hidden from the media, they're not playing. So that's the best indication.
Jeez. Yeah. What about Lane?
So Lane's an interesting case. Lane has been out on the practice field. He's stretched with the team. I think there is some hope that he might play. I mean, not often do players miss practice Wednesday, Thursday, and then play on Sunday. But clearly Lane's a case where, you know, just because of how long he's played, I think that's certainly a possibility. So today is a really good day. But the other side of that quickly, the Buccaneers are also dealing with a ton of injuries. They had 16 players on their injury report this week, a lot of key guys as well. So today is a very big day to see, you know, how this game's going to look on Sunday.
All right, let's get to two lessers, but still not insignificant. Becton and Covey, what about them?
So Becton will play. Becton injured his finger in the game, obviously, last week. Talked to him in the locker room this week. He had his finger wrapped up, but he said he'll be good to go. He'll play. Britton Covey, I think this is, you know, a long-term injury. I think he probably will play again this year. But I also think in, you know, 6 or 7 weeks when he's ready, that you'll see how the roster is playing, you know, how the roster is constructed. But, yeah, he'll be back and healthy enough to play this year. It's a matter of whether, you know, he'll get that roster spot back. But the other one is Milton Williams. Milton Williams was questionable with a groin injury. He has been really, really good for them this year. The defensive tackle play has been up and down. So Milton Williams is a big one to watch as well.
So what was his status in practice, Milton Williams?
He was limited yesterday with a groin injury, and he wasn't on the injury report on Wednesday, which would seem to indicate he suffered that injury, you know, either that morning when he showed up for practice or in practice, which, you know, is not a good thing. So
that doesn't sound great.
And that's what happened to AJ.
He's a big deal. Milton Williams has been D tackle. He's been inside. He's been outside at times, lined up outside. What about Landon Dickerson? He's got a wrist as well, but I guess he's practicing. How's he feeling?
Yeah, I think he's going to play as well. Landon feels like a guy that, you know, just the nature of his position, he's always dealing with something. He did have a bit of a wrap on his wrist in the locker room yesterday, as well as out on the practice field. But all indications are that he will play on Sunday.
This Buccaneers team, how good is Baker Mayfield?
You know, Baker is kind of like the poster for the whole team in the way that they're just an average team. Like, there's just nothing they're really great at. If you look at all parts of their, all their different units, they have two great receivers, I will say, Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. But their passing game isn't great. Their running game isn't great. Their pass protection is not great. Really, where they make their bread and butter is on defense. They blitz a ton. They were third in the league last year in blitzing. They're fourth in the league this year. And they do that because they just don't have any great players on that defensive line. They have very average players. So this is a winnable game for the Eagles. But, you know, as we've seen with the way they've been inconsistent this year, I don't think you can feel confident they're going to win the game.
You know, we haven't talked at all about the fact that we had a blocked punt in this last game. Like, this is a major problem.
Let me tell you my philosophy on that. Don't let it happen again.
That's a blocked punt. That's a game-changing play.
And
we haven't even discussed it.
Yeah.
Nolan Smith, I mean, it looked to me like Nolan Smith just flat out didn't block his man. And it could have been, I mean, that could have, the game hung in the balance.
You know, it's interesting, Elliot. We had Jason Kelce with us yesterday, and he talked about, and I remember Zach Ertz saying this a few years ago, that Sirianni will both praise players and be very clear in what they did wrong in team meetings. I mean, that Nolan Smith non-block on a blocked punt had looked really bad in a team meeting.
Yeah, and you know, you guys are right. They were lucky to survive that. There were a lot of things that happened in that game where you would look and go, all right, this is, you know, they're going to lose the game. But Michael Clay brought Nolan Smith up at the press conference earlier this week when talking about that blocked punt. You're right that in team meetings, I'm sure Nolan Smith has heard about that. But the shame of it is, I actually think Nolan Smith had a pretty good game outside of that. I thought, you know, for the first time in a long time, you could look at those Georgia players and say, okay, this is what the Eagles envisioned when they drafted basically the whole defense from that year. So, you know, yeah, the block was bad. The special teams have been good, so you don't completely forgive them, but this is they've turned into a good unit. But, bad mistake and a good game otherwise.
That's awesome that the Georgia players looked great because Bryce Huff looked horrendous. And I don't know, like, what's the word? Bryce Huff, do you just continue to dial him back until he doesn't play? What is the plan?
So I think the concerning thing with Bryce, and the edges in general, but in Bryce, is that when you rewatch that Saints tape, they were very happy to just put tight ends on Bryce Huff and trust the tight ends to block him one-on-one.
That's unheard of.
And as a result, you saw Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis get double-teamed on a lot of snaps just because they had no respect, basically, for the Eagles' edges. And you know what? Rightfully so. Like, Bryce Huff did not beat the tight end often. None of them did. Really, the edges were good against the run. But when it came to getting to the passer, a lot of that came from up the middle. So, no, I don't expect a role change. I mean, he only played 18 snaps. I don't know how much further down you can go. But, yeah, I think until he plays better, you're going to see him in the teens when it comes to snaps.
Elliot with us right now. Pizza Hammer in 5 minutes. I'll be competing against Ed in Phoenixville, who's a great caller, knows the sports, challenged me this week, and Ed's going to get a whooping coming up in 5 minutes. But
Sounds like you're trying to convince yourself.
Well, I mean, I know that Ed's...
Why do you need to tell Elliot about that?
Well, I'm reminding the audience. It's what they call on radio a tease.
It feels like you're trying too hard to convince you.
I'm just saying this Ed guy's going to go down.
Ed knows his stuff.
I know he knows his stuff. All right, Elliot.
I hope you know he knows.
Elliot, 511 touches is what Saquon is on pace for if they have to play 21 games. It's not sustainable. Do they ever start mixing Shipley in? I mean, they're going to need Saquon this week because they're without, two great receivers. But at what point do they not give Saquon the ball this much every game?
I don't think there's going to be a point. I mean, maybe in the last three games, if they have the one seed locked up, you'll see him start to get the ball a little less, like maybe come December. But I just don't get the sense that they feel that this is an issue. Talking to Saquon this week in the locker room, he said that, people focus on the number of touches, but it's more about the quality of touches. Like, he's had games where he'll touch the ball 10 times and he feels way more sore and, banged up the next day than days when he has, 30 touches. And that is, if you look at the way he's carried the ball this year, he really hasn't taken a ton of big hits. So I don't think it's something they're concerned about. I'm sure it's something they'll monitor late. But to your point, when you don't have Devontae, you don't have AJ, you might not have Lane, I don't see how the answer to winning that game is let's get Will Shipley the ball more.
Well,
amen.
I'll say this.
Joe needs to stop worrying about a bell cow running back being a bell cow running back.
Let me just say this. James, we all want credit for what we're right about in life, all right? Mm-hmm. What have I not gotten enough credit about this football season?
What have you not gotten enough credit about this football season? I'm sure you would tell us.
What did I say about 25 times?
Oh, the Christian McCaffrey thing.
Yep.
Yeah, you're right.
But everyone felt that
that's
way.
Everybody didn't feel that way.
Christian McCaffrey was healthy 1 year, and it was last year.
And the 49ers
and no one ever expected him to be healthy again.
And they overused him last year.
I don't remember you fighting back this hard when Joe was saying it. Like, Joe said McCaffrey's going to be out for an extended period of time. You're like, oh, no, he's not. Like, whatever. Like, This is revisionist history.
As I said,
hey,
not enough.
Guys, if you pay attention to like the fantasy football
James,
world,
but he was the number one pick in every fantasy draft.
He was the number one pick in every single one, and everyone was skating him down
in there.
How are they skating him down? This is revisionist history, man.
He wasn't picked first.
Phony baloney.
The wide receivers.
Phony baloney. All right, Elliot. Final thing here. Hurts.
I can't believe you're begging for credit.
I don't even know what the question is with Hurts.
Well, you got to have a question if you want to ask a question.
How does he get to the point where he stops turning the ball over? How about that question?
I don't think there is a point where that happens. I think he is who he is at this point in his career. I mean, in 2022, he took care of the ball. Every other year, it hasn't really been the case. So I think the Eagles are going to just, moving forward, you have to hope he makes more special plays than he makes mistakes, because the track record at this point of turning over the ball is too long to ignore. We've lived through quarterbacks. Carson said he would stop doing it. He never stopped doing it. Michael Vick said he would start sliding. He never stopped sliding. Like, some players just, it is who they are. And that is who Jalen is proving to be, 4 years into his career.
Yeah.
I do not agree that he's proving to be a turnover prone quarterback. Oh, I think the jury's out. I think the jury's out.
That. I mean, this one's pretty easy to say. Like, if you just look at his turnovers compared to other quarterbacks,
it's six turnovers this year. It's three games. I look at those two turnovers.
The league if he keeps doing two a game, dude.
Okay, you look at those two turnovers from the last game. One is a fumble. He knows he can't fumble. The second one, I think,
is on Devontae.
He
knows he can't fumble. Of course, he knew he couldn't fumble before the game yet on Sunday. What are you talking about?
He knows he can't.
Why? Come on, man. It's on other people, too. Devontae needs to come back to the ball. That throw was questionable. It could have been a touchdown. Yeah,
and the snap that hit his belly is not his fault. Okay, that's not his fault.
Yeah, but
the two balls that should have been intercepted in Green Bay and weren't.
Guys,
you know,
this is much ado about something that you're way worked up over. It's not a problem.
Everyone else but you thinks it's a problem.
John,
you're on an island, man.
You're on Gilligan's Island, actually, with that one.
All right, let's see how many turnovers he has by the end of the season.
Last thing, my man, who wins Sunday?
This is a tough game to pick just because there's so many injuries up in the air for both teams. But if the Eagles don't have Lane, AJ, and Devonta, I just don't see how they win this game. Jalen's 1-3 in his career against Todd Bowles. I know they've been better against the blitz this year, but Bowles is really good at dialing up blitzes teams have not seen. So, you know, the injuries, we'll see who the Buccaneers are missing, but I think I'm going to pick the Bucs.
Okay. Elliot, enjoy the game, pal. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks, my man.